told thy love to me, but I long to rise in the arms of faith and be closer drawn to thee. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side. Consecrate me now to thy service, Lord, by the power of grace divine. And let my soul look up with a steadfast hope, and my will be lost in thine. Oh, draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side. Oh, the pure delight of a single hour that before thy throne I spend.
Oh, listen to that. Listen.
When I kneel in prayer and with thee, my God, I commune as friend with friend. Oh, draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side. There are depths of love that I cannot know till I cross the narrow sea. There are heights of joy that I may not reach till I rest in peace.
Come on, let's worship the Lord.
Oh, draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me thy precious.
On that second verse, come on, give yourself to him.
Consecrate me now to thy service, Lord, by the power of grace divine.
Consecrate you to prayer.
Let my soul look up
with a steadfast hope. I hate to stop the music, but I must. We've got a great program today, and I'm excited about it. Absolutely. God wants to answer your prayers. I don't want you to miss those words. I wish I could say them to the whole world. I wish I could say them to everybody in every country where we are streaming, where we are going by Facebook or Internet or wherever, radio. I wish I could say to everybody, God absolutely wants to hear and answer your prayers. There's no ifs. There's no ands. God wants to answer your prayers. It's the will of God to answer your prayers. That's the way He desires fellowship with you. And I want you to learn to have fellowship with God. I want to somehow today encourage you and enlist you to go to work on your relationship with God and go to work on your prayer life and to make prayer life something really special in your life, really special in your heart, That it won't just be something you do when you don't have anything else to do. That you set it as a part of your life. Now, you got to listen to me today because I'm going to be plain and I'm going to be a little blunt at times. I'm telling you, I don't think I have any choice. I got to be a blunt. I don't know whether you saw the little note I put on Facebook, but did you know that between 1 and 200 churches close their doors every week in America? Between 1 and 200 churches close down, shut their doors, go out of God's business every week. Now that's between 6 and 10,000 churches every 12-month year. Every year, between 6 and 10,000 churches are going out of business across America. Now, there are many reasons. You could sit there, stand there, ride there, wherever you're at, and give for why the church is going out of business in incredible numbers. But I'm going to tell you one of the main things, we forgot how to pray. We have forgot the business of prayer. I mean, I've been a Christian 67 and a half years. I remember what prayer was when I came into the church kingdom. It was a church prayer meeting, or a home prayer meeting, or a prayer meeting in the woods, or wherever you could get together a group of people and get on your faces. And they didn't pray like, you know, the Presbyterians had probably already started praying when I got saved. But it was old-fashioned praying. You could hear it roar in a church full of people when everybody started praying. It was called concert. Excuse me. Wow. I'm sorry. Concert prayer. Concert praying. That meant everybody prayed together. Everybody went to God, and it was marvelous. And the sinner would sit there and tremble. The sinner would sit in our churches and tremble, and they would even come knowing they wasn't able to know the Lord, or wasn't ready to know the Lord, had not yet given their life to the Lord. But they would tremble under this great barrage of God's people praying and crying out to God together. And the Bible says so much about prayer. I promise you, if you'll get in your Bible and you'll start reading all about prayer, you're going to find it is one of the most marvelous. It is one of the most powerful. It is often very loud. It don't have to be loud or low. That's never a part of the fact of whether it ascends or not. But it's passion. Passion in prayer is what makes the difference. Whether you pray low or whether you pray loud doesn't make a lot of difference if you got passion. If you really got passion. So I want to talk about praying with a passion. Could you listen to that? Praying with a passion. The saints of God have got to go back to praying with a passion. God's people got to go back to praying with a passion. Because I'm telling you, when you pray with a passion, you get heard. Someone said to me this morning, someone very dear, I've prayed so many times and God hasn't answered my prayer. Don't put the blame on God, I said to this dear lady. You must understand, if your prayers aren't answered, you must take responsibility and nobody else. So the first thing I want to say that may sound a little rough to some of you is if your prayers aren't getting answered, you got to take the responsibility. And you got to figure out what's wrong. And you got to learn what's wrong. And you got to do something about it. This preacher, I mean, I have prayed all these years as a believer. I've been in the woods to pray. I've been in the church to pray. I've been in Sunday school classes to pray. I've been in the basement where the furnace was when I couldn't get in the door because they were locked, and pray in the furnace room down in a kind of dungeon-like place. I prayed in all kinds of places. I'll never forget that day in the East Burlington Church of God. I'd been saved a few months. I'd moved to town. I was working in some little secular job. By the way, I started at $75, 75 cents an hour. 75 cents an hour. That's what I remember I made in the shoe factory, sock factory, boxing up socks, 75 cents an hour. But I remember going to the church one day. I was desperate to pray. I was under the bottom. I mean, the cloud was over my head, and I knew what I needed was prayer. And I went to church, and the door was locked, and the windows were locked, and I couldn't find anywhere to get in. I went around on the back left side where the furnace was and opened the the basement door, and it was open. So I went in where the furnace was and got down on my knees, and I'll never forget it. When I went in that basement, I was under the cloud. When I came out, I was on top of the cloud. I couldn't even touch the bottom when I went in, but I couldn't even touch the top when I came out, because prayer had turned me upside down. I'm just a little kid. I'm 16, maybe just turned 17, had been saved but a few months, but I was in love with Him. Prayer is a result of being in love with Him. If you're just praying because you got something you want God to do, please don't waste your time. Please. You don't pray because you got something you want God to do. That comes along in your prayer, but that's not the basis of prayer. The basis of prayer is a passion after God. A passion after the Lord Jesus Christ. A passion after the mighty moving and the work of the Holy Spirit in your life. That's what prayer is all about. So prayer must begin with a passion. Prayer must begin with a passion. Now, let me tell you some things I want to say. Prayer is the Father's most important way of having fellowship with you and I. Prayer is the most important way that God has fellowship with you and I. I mean, when you pray, you know, the Bible says in John 10, the Bible says, my sheep know my voice, and another they will not follow. That's what prayer is all about, learning the voice of God, learning to hear what God has to say to you, learning to listen to God, and learning to obey God, and learning to live in a relationship with God. That is the most wonderful thing in your life. You will never, I'm saying it with all the passion of my heart, you will never love anything better than praying. If you're not a praying Christian, I don't believe you are a Christian. Forgive me. Now I'm being blunt. But if you're not a praying person, what right do you have to claim to be a Christian if you never talk to the God you say you serve? It just doesn't make any sense for someone to say, I don't have time to pray, or I never pray, or I'm too busy to pray, or I don't want to pray, or I don't like to pray. If you belong to God, you want to talk to Him. You want to talk to Him. I love a scripture that I've quoted so many times in Psalms division 37 verse 4. Listen to this now. Psalms division 37 verse 4. It says, delight thyself in the Lord, and He will give thee the desires of thine heart. Now listen. You can live on that. You can live on that. Psalms 37, 4, delight thyself in the Lord, and He will give you the passions. Delight thyself, He will give you the desires of your heart. Now, I'm going to tell you before you start, when you really delight yourself in God, the things you are concerned for and won't be the same as just a carnal person that doesn't know the Lord. When you know Him, when you begin to delight in Him, when you begin to enjoy Him, I'm telling you, your desires will change drastically, and the things you want will be things that He loves, and that He provides, and that the Bible has promised. You see, that's really the basis of prayer, is learning to have a passion after God. Learning to have a delight in the Lord. Enjoy Him. When you learn to enjoy God in prayer, you will have no trouble praying, and your prayers will get longer and longer and longer when you delight in Him, when you love Him, when you praise Him, and you just enjoy being in the company of God. That's what prayer is. It's learning to move into the company of God. And as I move along, I will show you how you can absolutely have entrance into the very wonderful presence of our Lord and our God. So the Bible says in division 1 Thessalonians 5 and 17, something mighty. Division, 1 Thessalonians, chapter 5. I'll get it right in a minute. Chapter 5, verse 17. And it says very much, pray without ceasing. That's the full context of that scripture. Pray without ceasing. Did you hear that? Say, Brother Chambers, how in the world? I wouldn't enjoy praying that much. You will be surprised when you begin to delight yourself in the Lord, how much prayer will satisfy every longing that is in your heart. The most lonesome times of my life, I've given myself to start praying. And before I would finish, I'd be in a different world. I'd have a different mindset. I'd feel like a different person. Whatever your condition, whatever situation you're in, whatever mess you've created with disobedience, whatever mess somebody else has caused around your life, you learn to pray without ceasing. And I promise you, God will come to you in His graces. And before you know it, everything in your life will begin to change. Pray without ceasing. Now, I love the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Now, let me tell you something about the Lord's Prayer. It is our Father. The disciples said to Jesus, teach us how to pray. And Jesus said to them, pray, our Father. Now, why did he say our Father? It was his Father too. He was putting himself in the same category as his disciples was. And he was telling them, pray, our Father, which art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth even as it is done in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our trespasses. Notice, forgive us our trespasses even as we forgive others their trespasses. Remember that? Don't ask God to forgive you if you don't forgive others. Don't ask God to cleanse you from your pain if you haven't helped others get cleansed from their pain. It all goes together. This life is a life of God's people loving one another and loving the Lord God together. So pray without ceasing. I want to mention that scripture again. Psalms division 37:4. Go find it in your Bible. Mark it. Memorize it. Memorize it. Delight thyself in the Lord, and he will give thee the desires of thine heart. This morning, I was enjoying that scripture so much, I looked up the word Lord, and it said Elohim, Jehovah, gave El Shaddai. It gave different names. I don't believe the El Shaddai was in, but several of the Father's names were involved in the meaning of that word Lord. And so learn to delight in him. Learn to enjoy. You say, Brother Chambers, I don't know how to start. Start as simple as just getting on your knees and praying the name of Jesus. I want to know you, God. I want to be one of your children. I want to live in fellowship with you. So I'm going to stay here on my knees every week, every day, on a regular basis until you come to me and teach me how to pray. Let me tell you, one of the greatest things I ever learned is you can pray till you pray through. You can pray till you pray through. I heard a big time preacher say some time ago, there is nothing to this idea of praying till you pray through. And he was a Pentecostal. And I thought, what is wrong with that man? Why would he ever say you cannot pray until you pray through unless he has never prayed until he prayed through? Which is a very good possibility. That may be why he knows a lot of theology, but don't appear to know anything about the Lord, and certainly doesn't teach good theology, because he apparently doesn't know the Lord. If somebody says to you, there's nothing to praying through, you tell them, I know a man 67 and a half years Christian, and he's prayed through 10,000 times or more. And I know what it means to pray until God is right there and he's listening, and even talking. Now, I don't mean a voice at all. I've never heard God just utter something with his voice that echoed out of heaven. But I read it in the Bible and I hear it in my heart. I know his voice. I know his voice. And it's so real that once I hear it, I never doubt it. Once God says something to me, I know it's true, and I don't doubt it. If it's something that has to do with life, remember when God spoke to me and said Hillary Clinton would never be the president of the United States, and I said it for 10 years through thick and thin, through battle after battle. I'll never forget before the last vote, I was at the Carolina Hospital coming out the door, and here came a preacher friend of mine, and he cried out across the whole crowd, we'll find out on November September 4th, whatever day it was, we'll find out whether you're a false prophet or not. And I looked back at him and said, I'm not worried in the least. I knew what God had said to me. See, you will know it when God speaks. You will know it. It won't come at first. It may not come to you for months. It may be 2 or 3 years before you hear the voice of God in a clear and particular fashion. Don't worry about that. That's not for you to decide. That's for God. You just learn to enjoy Him and delight in Him and get on your face in front of Him and pray until the Spirit of the Lord comes real. I remember when I first got saved, had a place out behind the old farmhouse. I'm just 16. I am so uneducated. It's pitiful to tell you my position in the academic world. It was nothing. I'm a school dropout, and I immediately learned to pray till God's presence would come down. I would pray till I sense, oh, He's here. He's here. And then I'd just pour out my heart to Him. I'd love Him. And He'd just become, this is what I'm telling you that everybody out there can know. There's no such thing as a person that cannot know when they have prayed through. When you pray through and the presence of God becomes real, now that's not the time to stop. Some people will pray till they pray through. Well, ooh, I prayed through and they stop. No, once you pray through, that's the time to stay in there a while. That's the time to spend an hour or so right in the presence of Almighty God. And it just gets richer. So learn to pray until you pray through. Learn to pray until you pray through. It is wonderful. Delight thyself in the Lord, and He will give thee the desires of thine heart. Now, I want to take you to one of the most read scripture in America right now. People all over America are praying for a sovereign move. The church is in a disaster. The nation is in a disaster. The political situation is is so ridiculous that you cannot describe it. I have never seen a situation in the political world in my lifetime, such hatred for the president until it's indescribable hatred. It is terrible hatred. Well, here's a scripture that I want to spend a little time with because I'm trying to teach you how to pray today. I really want to teach you. Remember, delight thyself in the Lord. And He will give thee the desires of thine heart. You learn to pray until it becomes delightful. You say, Brother Chambers, do you have to be loud or are you soft? It don't make a lick of difference whether you're loud or soft. Although I'm of the opinion when you get passionate in praying, you will just about always get louder than you know, the average. I know I do. When I pray, I have to watch myself or I'm just plain too loud. And if I'm in the church by myself, I just have a wonderful time crying out to God with all my heart. And when He comes and moves on me and I feel His glory, I shout it out. I shout it out. I praise Him. I love Him. I'm not afraid for people to hear me. I don't care if the neighbors 10 blocks away hear me pray. I just believe it's time that church gets back to praying. And you won't believe what it will do to your neighbors if they hear you praying once in a while. You won't believe the difference it will make. They may fuss a little bit to start with, but later trouble will come. And they'll come looking for you. They'll come looking for you. If you work at a place and you have times that you can get alone and pray, don't worry if somebody's listening. Don't worry about it. The boss man tells you to quieten down, obey him. Get quieter, but stay passionate. The thing that counts is you're passionate. It's in your heart. It's burning. It's a fire. It's shut up. And you're loving. And you're praising. And you're blessing God. That's what we need, is passionate praying. I could say fervent. That means red hot. And that's what James called it. And Jesus said, if you cry to me day and night, look up that word cry. And it meant holler or shout. That's what Jesus said. Now holler to me day and night, and I will avenge you of your adversaries. I mean, that's Jesus' words in the book of Luke 18. Go read them for yourself. I'm telling you, God wants us to pray with a passion. And if you don't have passion in your prayer, forget getting an answer. You're not going to get an answer. That's the beginning point of prayer is passion. That's the beginning part of prayer, passion. If you don't have passion in your prayer, you're not doing anything but wasting your time. If you're just getting down there and throwing a few words up in the sky and hoping He gets through the tough, forget it. Forget it. Listen now. I will take you to that scripture in 2 Chronicles Second Chronicles chapter, I'm having to remind myself here, 7:14. But if my people, now notice this, but if my people, how many of you out there say you're Christian? How many of you know that you're Christian? Then you're his people. If my people, which are called by my name, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray. Notice that, and pray. But that's the first level of prayer. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray. But he doesn't stop there, and seek my face. Now that really just got a hold of me this week. Prayer is two levels. Number one is praying. This is needs and burdens and things of other people that you're burdened with. Praying, that's wonderful. Number two is seeking his face. Seeking his face. And I began weeks ago to look at that in that light. And I've begun to seek his face. I want to see him like Moses saw him. I want his glory to be real in my life. I want to get near him under the power of the Holy Spirit overshadows me. So I'm seeking the face of God. I pray, but I seek his face. So I would like to encourage you as a step in your direction of a great prayer life is to begin to seek the face of God. See, God wants you to want to know him. God wants you to want his fellowship. God wants you to desire a communication between you and him. He don't want you just coming to him and telling him a bunch of things you want him to do for you. He wants you to come to him and have fellowship with him. And that's why seeking his face is a marvelous step in the right direction. Yes, pray for every need you know, everybody you love, everything you care about, every promise you know in the Bible. But then take time to forget all the wants and all the desires and all the burdens and all the things that you could spend time praying for and seek his face. Hallelujah. Whew, I hope you see what I'm seeing. I hope you feel what I'm feeling. Because I'm telling you, when you begin to seek the Father's face, your life is going to take a change that's going to turn you upside down. Now, I do want to tell you that the phones are open. I have them on, and I'm ready for you to call. And so anybody that has some burdens that you want to talk about, you have some questions about prayer that you want to ask, I won't waste any time, and I won't spend time with frivolous things, but things that will help us get across to everybody what prayer is all about. You know the number, 704-391-0588, 704-391-0588. I'll let you see it for a moment, 391-0588. Now write that down, because I'm going to remove it in a minute. I don't want it in front of me, but I want you to have it to call if I can help you. Now, remember, when you pray, seek his face. Spend time asking him for all the needs you know about. Make sure you spend time with that. Care about people. Pray for people that are hurting, people in a bad situation. I'm for all of that. But more than anything, I want you to get close to God in your prayers. And when you get close to God, all those other things will come rushing in on you. And you'll find yourself weeping for the lost. You'll find yourself crying out because a multitude is going to hell every day. And the church is doing very little to stop it. And the big mega churches are nothing but watered down theology. Cheap gospel, cheap religion, cheap confessions. It is of very little consequence in the lives of human beings. I'm telling you, very little consequence. A church that's not a praying church is not a church with any spiritual value at all. Now remember this great scripture in 2 Chronicles 7:14. My people called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face. I want you to start seeking the face of God. If you do that, I'm telling you, things are going to start taking a change. You're going to find that the 10 minutes you used to pray turns into 20 minutes. And then the 20 will turn into 30. And the 30 will turn into 40. And before you know it, an hour won't be long enough for you to pray every day. Because it will become so wonderful. It will take on such intensity. You will become so passionate the more you know God. The Bible said that our trials teach us patience, and patience teaches experience. experience. And experience gives us hope. And hope makes us not ashamed, because the Holy Ghost is putting the love of God in our hearts. The Holy Ghost, one of His divine ministries, is to fill your heart with the love of God. I'm here to tell you, you're full of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You'll be loving Him more and more and more and more. And if you're not loving Him more and more and more and more, you probably do not have what you think you have. So many people, all they have is a little hoopla, a little noise, a little shout, a little jitter, you know. They say incoherent things, and somebody says, that's the Holy Ghost. I'm going to tell you, when the Holy Ghost comes, He'll fill you full of the love of God. He really will. The love of God, how sweet and pure, how measureless, how strong. Hallelujah. Seek His face, my brothers and sisters. Now, I want to take you to Romans 8, to one of the greatest passages of the Word of God, as Brother Chambers has ever read. I absolutely love it. It has changed my life so many times. The book of Romans, chapter 8. Got many scriptures here. I won't get to most of them, but I'll get to some of them. Romans chapter 8. I want to read you a scripture that you need to learn to really depend upon. Because praying is warfare. Praying is warfare. When you're praying, you are doing warfare. Before I read that, let me take you to 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and give you something else that will help you then grab that other scripture in Romans 8. Let me read you this. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Now, I want you to hear that. The weapons of our warfare. This is praying. This is praying. The weapons of our warfare. And that's what prayer is. Prayer is warfare. It'll make you tired sometimes. It'll wear you out sometimes when the enemy is coming against you like a storm. But remember, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and are safe. Do you hear that? The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and are safe. Now, let me take you to this. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're not flesh and blood and words and me and you. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And you understand, the devil is doing everything he can to destroy the church. The devil is out to destroy every believer who knows Jesus Christ. He goeth about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. You understand that? He goeth about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. How do you want to stop that? You stop that because you have a weapon of warfare. A weapon of warfare through God to the pulling down of strongholds around your children that are unsaved, or strongholds around that man or woman out there that's into sodomy or into lesbianism, the transgender. I mean, you can take all these social ills that are everywhere, and every last one of them is the work of Lucifer. And the only way to defeat those works of Lucifer is the power of prayer. The mighty power of the Holy Spirit. You begin to pray in the Spirit. You begin to pray by the power of the Holy Ghost. And your whole environment around your life is going to take a change. And it's going to become very, very different. And you can literally pull down the strongholds of your loved ones and your friends. When you're trying to witness to a soul and they won't pay you any attention, spend a few weeks just praying for them and crying out to God for them with a passion now. With a passion, the Bible said, they that go forth bearing precious seed shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing their sheaves with them. It makes it so plain that tears in our eyes will bring tears in the wicked men's eyes. We are the first to weep over the sinner, and then before long, the sinner will be weeping over him or herself. That's what the power of prayer is. Pulling down strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought. Listen. You can control the thinking of people around you when you are praying. The Bible says that. You literally are in warfare. I want to read this whole scripture because you got to get this. Book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 10, beginning with verse 3. Listen now. For though we walk in the flesh, We do not war, W-A-R. We do not war after the flesh. Our spiritual battles are not flesh battles. They are spiritual battles. For the weapons, notice that, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're not just flesh and blood, but they are powerful. They are mighty through God, not yourself, but through God. This is prayer. See, when you pray, you become you reach into contact with God. You become a fellow worker with God. God's Holy Spirit comes upon you to pray by His power, and you pull down strongholds. You take that person in your family, maybe it's a son, they become a homosexual, and you're weeping for their soul because they're going to be eternally lost if we don't find them deliverance in the blood of Jesus. And so you begin to pray, and when you pray in the name of Jesus, now we'll get to that in a minute, but in the name of Jesus, you're praying and you keep on praying. I mean, you cry out to God, you pray with a passion, you pray until weeping and sobbing becomes a way of life. And I promise you, God will do something that will change your life. God will do something that will change your life. Yes, may I help you, please?
Yes, what time is your open Bible dialogue? I went online and didn't get time.
Well, it's on right now from 1 to 2 o'clock in the afternoon, that's p.m., on Eastern Standard Time. Are you listening right now?
No, I'm getting ready to turn my radio then.
Well, then you're late. You're late, but turn your radio. Where you live?
I'm in Canapolis right now.
Well, I hope you can get it on 1240. Maybe there's one over there, 1110. I'm not sure. If not, go on the Internet or go on Facebook. Do you have Facebook?
I do.
I'm on live Facebook. You'll even see my ugly mug.
All right. Go
on Facebook. Listen, friend, that's wonderful. That is wonderful. I wish you'd already been listening, but I pray that God will get a hold of her. Listen. Oh, God, help us. Help me to say the right words. I'm crying out to God for you. I'm trying to teach people how to pray because I know we'll turn the church world upside down. If I could get 1,000 people around me praying, man, what a difference we'd make. What if we could get 10,000 across America and then get 100,000 around the world praying like I'm talking about today? We'll turn things upside down. He said it very plain. The weapons of our warfare are not flesh and blood, not carnal, but mighty through God, to the pulling down of strongholds. Reach up there and get that old stronghold of hell that's got a hold of your son. And you start claiming by the blood of Jesus, I bind you, you devil. I bind you, you old demon of uncleanness. You demon of homosexuality. I bind you and I command you down. I command you broken. I command you broken. And you pray like that every day, an hour or so a day. And as you go about in your car, learn to pray in your car. Learn to pray washing dishes. Learn to pray when you wake up at night and can't go back to sleep. Learn to pray on your job. You may often have to pray quietly, but you can have a passion praying quietly, and you can have a passion praying loudly. But the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Pulling them down, casting down. Notice this, casting down imaginations. This is what people get in people's head. You know, people have 1,000 reasons why they don't want to go to church. They have 1,000 reasons why they don't want to give the life to Christ. Those are imaginations that Satan has put in their brain. Often they came from church people, from preachers that don't know what they're preaching, from worldly things, from sociology and psychology, all kinds of ideas out there that are contrary to the Bible. The mighty power of prayer will pull them down. The mighty power of prayer will take them out of people's mind. The Bible says the devil has blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel should shine unto them. Let me say that again. The Bible says that Satan has blinded the minds of them that believe not. That's imagination. Satan has blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the glorious light of the gospel should shine unto them. There's not a one of you full of Jesus, your sins having been forgiven and washed away, and then God has taken you into His hands and you surrendered your will to His will, filled with the Holy Spirit now. You've got power and you can start praying and you can pull down strongholds. You can reach your unsaved children. You can reach your unsaved neighbors. You can break through barriers all around you. You can see glorious things taking place because He said it. I didn't say it. He said it. Oh, I wish you'd get that. He said it. that that this mighty power will cast down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. You got to read that. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, start with verse 3, read about 6 or 7, 8 verses, and live in those scriptures. Live in them, for they are dynamite. Now, let me take you back to Romans. I want to get you into Romans 8, verse 20, verse 26. You've got to get a hold of this. You've got to get a hold of this. Now, this is Paul talking. He says, likewise, the Spirit, that's the Holy Spirit, also helpeth our infirmities. Our infirmities. Notice that. That's our weaknesses. Likewise, the Holy Spirit helps our weaknesses. And listen, for we know not how we should pray as we ought. How often do I get on my knees and God's helping me and I'm praying, and then I reach a point that I don't know how to pray. I got so many burdens and I carry a load of them. Believe me, with a school and a church and radio and all my neighbors and the people we have all over the world that call me regular, and people that love our material, our printed material, our videos, etc., our CDs, our DVD, people love these things. And we have many wonderful friends. And the burden is heavy, and I carry it with all my heart. I really do. But sometimes it's over my head. But he says, likewise, the Spirit helpeth our infirmities, our weaknesses. We know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit, listen to this, but the Spirit himself maketh intercession for us. The Holy Spirit, see, Jesus is praying for us in heaven. The Holy Spirit is praying for us in us. When we are filled with the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit is praying in us for us. And as the Holy Spirit in you is praying for you, he doesn't pray according to your mind. He prays according to God's mind. That's what it says. I'll read it to you. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not how we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit maketh intercession. Notice what that word intercession, you know what that means. That means he's interceding for us. He's interceding for us. And says he's interceding for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. See, praying in the Holy Spirit, that's the language of tongues. Every person who's been baptized in the Holy Ghost has spoken in tongues. You cannot be filled with the Holy Ghost without tongues. Why do you say that? I say that because he gives you the Holy Spirit so that this supernatural being called the Holy Spirit can take up residence in you and begin to strengthen you and teach you and guide you and correct you and pray for you, through you, up to God. I mean, that's the whole purpose of the Holy Spirit, is to be what you are not, to be what you cannot be, to do what you cannot do, and to put power and anointing upon the things you say or do. I love that. But he maketh intercession for us with groanings. That word groaning means feelings of empathy. It means pain that grips the heart in a sense of great groaning for this person or this situation we're praying about. And he does it with great groanings. I find me praying often in my natural tongue with groanings because I give myself to prayer. It's now 2 to 3 hours a day that I'm on my knees with God, and I'm not bragging on nothing. I need it to be more. I love it, and I see the results of it. I see Holy Ghost sovereign revival about to break upon this city. I have no doubt we're fixing to see a Holy Ghost breakthrough, mighty, and the only thing will bring it is mighty prayer. If we pray in the old weak, effeminate way that most church people pray, nothing's going to happen. If we pray the old soft-toned, no passion, just begging God to do what we're not able to do, nothing's going to happen. But when we get a passion, we begin to seek the face of God. We begin to pray out to him with all of our heart. We get to the place we're not ashamed if people hear us pray. I wish I had 1,000 in that sanctuary every Sunday just praying to the top of their lungs. wouldn't bother me. And if it bothered the sinner, good. Maybe he'll get up and run to the altar. And that's what will happen, by the way. That used to happen. I mean, I remember it. I was raised in it. I'm not a new time boy. I'm an old time believer. 67 and a half years ago, when the church was on fire, when the Holy Pentecostal church prayed back then, you couldn't hear your own praying because it was such a concert praying out together. I remember being in camp meeting on Wilkerson Boulevard, and everybody's praying in concert. That whole place is almost jumping and jerking with the power of Holy Ghost anointed praying. And boy, when you got through, the sinner was ready to run to the altar or run out the door, one or the other. See, when sinners can sit in our church and be comfortable, we aren't what we ought to be. Did you know that? We are way beneath the level that we should be when sinners can sit in our church and be comfortable. That's the situation. That's why they took down the crosses and got rid of the stained glass windows. And they don't have pews anymore. And they give them a cup of coffee to try to sedate them while they sit there and listen to boring singing, boring preaching, and entertaining sometimes. Some of these preachers are very entertaining. That don't mean a thing. If you just go because your preacher keeps you laughing, you're in trouble, brother. You need a miracle already. You're in bad situation, I promise you. Well, he says it very plain that he prays. And listen what he said. And he that searcheth the heart knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Romans 8:26-27. You need to read them. You need to let them get a hold of you. Jude said, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Did you know Jude said that over near Revelation? Praying in the Holy Ghost. That's when the Holy Ghost is doing warfare in you. And you're praying, is crying out to God. Now I got to spend the rest of the time talking about Jesus and the blood. Do you understand that Jesus took upon his own body, he was God in the flesh. He was God in the flesh. His blood was divine blood. Remember I said last week that his blood is on the altar in heaven. That altar in our sanctuary is an extension of the one in heaven. And so in reality, by the truth of God's word, the altar in this sanctuary is anointed by the blood of Jesus Christ. And I proved that to you last week. And I'm telling you, that's the name and that's the veil which we are able to enter into the presence of God. The Bible said that Jesus' body was like a veil by which we walk through. He's the door, remember? Remember John said in St. John chapter 10, I am the door. Jesus said it, I am the door. Well, the Bible calls that a door. It also calls it a veil in Hebrews 10. And Jesus' flesh is that veil. And his blood is that sacrifice that is cleansed our sins and purged our iniquities and made us able to come boldly into the throne of grace. Don't you try to go into God's throne of grace to pray when you've not been washed in the blood, because all you can do is get to the door. Now, if you stay at the door long enough and you're genuine and you pray in the right fashion and you repent of your sins, at some point the blood of Jesus will open up and you'll walk right through that door into the wonderful grace of God, and you'll be marvelously converted, and then you can go in and out of the door into the veil. The Bible says, read it, Hebrews chapter 10. Read it for yourself. It's right there. Start with verse 18, 19. It'll change your life. It'll change your life. I'm telling you that praying by the blood. Now, I'm learning that when I pray by the blood, something really begins to happen more than I've ever realized in my life. See, when you pray by the blood, you're the vessel. Your lips and the Holy Spirit speaking through you, but the blood is the ammunition. It's like having a gun without bullets when you don't pray in the name of Jesus. It's like having a knife without a blade when you don't pray in the name of Jesus. It's like empty, having a car without gas, having your own heart without the blood applied. I'm telling you, the blood of Jesus will pull down the strongholds of the devil. When you pray, don't you say, well, I know the blood. He knows I believe in the blood, so that's all I need. Oh, no, it isn't. If you said that, I've got bullets for my gun. And they're all at home, and the devil knows I got them, so he's not going to mess with me. And that thief knows I got bullets at home, he's not going to mess with me. Well, you need to get them bullets in your gun. and have your gun ready when the enemy comes. Well, I'm just making that a lesson to apply to the spiritual. When you are talking to God, you are talking to God by the authority of the blood. Always understand that it's by the blood that you pray. You pray by nothing but the blood. And quit trying to just say to God, you know I believe in the blood. No, you say it over and over and over again. Let me take you to the book of Hebrews chapter 10. The book of Hebrews chapter 10. I want you to know something, friend. I'm talking about something that will turn your life so upside down, you'll never be the same again. Do you hear me? It'll turn your life so totally upside down, you'll never be the same again. I have a hard time reading. Here we are. Let's go now to the book of Hebrews chapter 10. Okay, the book of Hebrews chapter 10. Listen to me. Having, therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest. Listen, we're talking about prayer now. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. Your entrance into the prayer chamber is always by the blood. If you don't go in by the blood, you can't get in. There's no way to pray but by the authority of the blood. And you need to say it. You need to say it over. It needs to become such a truth in your life that you just know whenever, if the devil comes and shows up on your job and he comes against you and you got your faith in the blood, it's at home, but you don't have it with you. You just stand up and say, by the name and the blood of Jesus, devil, you are bound and broken and you have no further right. If you pray, I'm telling you, I'm talking about something the devil hates this with a passion. The devil hates this with a passion. I'm telling you, when you pray in the power of the blood, the devil trembles. The devil trembles. I'm telling you, if you learn to pray in the power of the blood on a regular basis, you'll find the old devil hating you like you've never been hated in all your life. Now, if you don't want to have people out there in the world that hates you, don't start praying by the blood, because you'll have people that start hating you when you really pray by the blood, because if they're full of a demon, they're not going to like being around you. They're not going to like your presence. And so get ready for a little of that, but it will turn into victory and they will be altered. They will be changed. And that blood power in prayer will make you a dynamo for God and for your friends and for your church. Any one person listening to me that's in a dead church, now most likely you just need to get out of that dead mess, because you got a preacher that's going to run you out if you start opposing him. But try it. Go to that altar in that church. They don't have an altar. Tell the preacher you're going to make you one down there. Go get you a chair and put it for a place where you can have you an altar. And get in that altar and pray. And pray, I mean regular. Go there every morning. I'll never forget a revival I heard about, that this evangelist went to a church and the revival broke out and he was so excited. Thank God I finally have succeeded in bringing a revival and having a revival in a church. And he felt so excited about himself. And so one morning, while it was still dark, the Holy Spirit woke him up and moved on his heart to go to church. And so he went to church to pray. He knew God was leading him. He didn't know why. He got to church and the back door was open and he saw a light on down at the altar. And so he came in the door slowly and very quietly. And there was a young boy, young teenager in the altar. And he was a little bit young and he didn't have good speech. He was mumbling with some kind of a speech impediment. And the little fellow was praying, oh God, thank you for this revival. I've been praying for months for this revival. And finally, God, here's revival. And his speech was broken, and the evangelist was standing back at the back door. The young man didn't know the preacher was back there, and the Holy Ghost quietly said to this evangelist, there is the source of this Holy Ghost revival. There is the source of this Holy Ghost revival, preacher. Not you. I'm using you to preach, but I've used him to pray this revival down. Have you ever read Duncan Campbell's testimony of the hybrid revival? How about the men in that city who was praying in a barn, up in the loft with the hay, and they prayed for weeks and weeks and weeks, and finally God moved them and said, "I'm sending revival," and they were moved to repent of all their sins and to get their life in a cleaner fashion than it ever been, and revival came to the Hybrid Islands. You need to hear the story. You need to hear the story. It's a beautiful experience. And I've lived in the joy of those kind of revivals through my years. I've read every one I could get my hands on. I read every autobiography or biography I could get. I read about the Methodist revival and John Wesley and the Presbyterian revival and the great preacher man who was a lawyer who led that revival. And of course, the Lutheran revival. Martin Luther and the Reformation. Did you know that the history book says that Martin Luther was full of all of the 9 gifts of the Holy Ghost, and every one of them operated in his life? The word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, faith, healing, miracles, prophecy, discernment of spirits, tongues, and interpretation of tongues. Friend, when the Holy Spirit moves, revival starts, and it don't start till He does move, and God's got to have some prayer warriors. Now, in these last minutes of this wonderful program, I wonder how many of you are willing to join Brother Chambers and become a dynamite person for God. Become a dynamite person for God. Is anybody there? Are you on the air? Anybody there? All right, I guess that was one that I didn't hang up on. I'm not sure. Call me if you'd like to talk to Brother Chambers. So we got 8 minutes here. I'd love to hear some Hey, anybody out there that remembers when people used to pray like I've told you I pray? I still pray the way I pray. The way I prayed all back then, I pray it till today. I get in that sanctuary, that altar, and I cry out to God with all my heart. I do, because I know what God said, and he meant what He said, and He will do what He said when He says what He'll do. Did you know that? You just make yourself available. You get on your face. Brother Chambers, if I try this, what if it don't work? It's going to work. You don't have to worry about that. If you do it with all your heart, you get a passion after God. I want to read this scripture to you, and I love it. And make sure I've got the right scripture. And shall not God avenge His elect? Shall not God avenge His own elect, it says, which cry unto Him day and night? Yea, He will deliver them speedily. I'm sorry. I'm messing up with that. And shall not God avenge His own elect, which cry day and night unto Him, though He bear long with them? I tell you that He will avenge them speedily. Hallelujah. Shall not God avenge His own elect that cry day and night unto Him? Hallelujah. I've been doing that. I've been crying day and night. And I'm telling you right now, He is avenging me of adversaries. And He will continue. And I want them to be saved, not destroyed. I want them to come in repentance to God, not to be cast into hellfire. I don't want nobody to go to hell. I don't know nobody that is a big enough enemy with me for me to want them to be eternally lost. I want them saved. I want them saved. And I want every one of you saved. I want you to repent and get on fire with God. Now, let's go through what I've tried to say to you today. And I haven't got it all said. It's so exciting. It really is. You got to learn these things. Number one, prayer is the Father's most important way of having relationship with you. You must learn to pray. Don't count yourself a believer if you don't pray. If you're not a praying Christian, you're probably not a Christian. You need to hear that and you need to understand that. The Bible says, pray without ceasing. Listen to that. Pray without ceasing. Christians, you've got to hear that. You got to hear that. And then the Lord's Prayer, our Father, which art in heaven. And then remember, Psalms 37:4, delight thyself in the Lord, and He will give thee the desires of thine heart. So prayer should be a praying that comes out of your delighting with God, your loving God, your having fellowship with God, your enjoying God, and God wants to enjoy you. Did you know that? Did you know God loves enjoying His saints? God loves enjoying His saints. And don't forget that a great message of 2 Chronicles 7:14, where it says, if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face. Pray and seek my face. That seeking His face is just as important as the praying. Desire Him. have a passion after him, long to know him, long to be close, very close to him, very much. And then remember Romans 8, if we know not how to pray as we ought, the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. How could anybody fail to want to pray in the Spirit? How could anybody fail to want to pray and be moved by the power of the Holy Ghost? I do not understand it. I literally do not understand it. I've got to have that touch of the Holy One upon me. I cannot survive without it. It is so wonderful. I got 5 minutes now, and I want to take it and make it count. But please remember these things. They are extremely important. Passion is more important. Now listen, you got to get this good. Passion is more important by how loud or how quiet. Passion. Do you pray with a passion? Are the tears running down your cheeks? Is there a burden in your soul? Are you crying out with such a hunger for God to do something? How much do you want God? How much do you want God to know you? How much do you want to know God yourself? That's the passion that's got to consume you in prayer. And until you have a passion in your praying, I'll be honest with you, you're just wasting your time. You've got to ask God to help you pray with a passion. Now you got to remember the blood. The blood of Jesus Christ is the one and only way to touch God. God moves on no other premise. There is no other passion that will bring the heart of God moving in your direction and in your life, but your absolute confidence in the power of His blood. His blood broke the devil's back. His blood destroyed every passion of the devil. His blood put an end to Satan's every dark deed in action. His blood has sealed the fate of Satan. He will spend eternity in his own hell, called the devil's hell. The blood of Jesus has broken every work of Satan. It's broken every power. I know it's not all completed yet. I know we're still in the early stages of the final end. But the blood of Jesus has provided a mighty redemptive passion and work that will bring this whole world to become a world of righteousness, and holiness will cover the earth as the waters cover the sea, and God's going to clean up every dark deed of Lucifer. There won't be nothing left when God gets through with redeeming this earth and redeeming our world. There will be nothing left but a clean, holy place, and we will spend eternity. And all of that has been wrought by the blood. You got to understand, every victory over Satan is a blood victory. Every victory over sickness and disease is a blood victory. Every victory over a dark stronghold of hell that's destroying your boys and girls is a victory of the blood of Jesus. Every time you defeat the enemy that tries to destroy you, it's a victory of the blood. The whole church life is victory of the blood, or there is no victory. Nothing in the church has any authority for victory but the Word of God, the Holy Ghost of God, and the blood of Jesus Christ. And the Word and the blood operate in absolute harmony with the blood. I'm telling you, the blood of Jesus is at the center of it all. So you got to learn to pray on the authority of the blood. Are you willing? Are you willing to pray on the authority of the blood? I'm praying that you are. I'm calling out to you in the name of the Lord that you will let the blood of Jesus pay the whole price, and that you will move in obedience to Him and His will. Hallelujah. He's everything you need. I'm telling you, Jesus is everything you need. I've loved this. I really have. I hope you have been blessed. I hope you have made up your mind to be a prayer warrior. I hope you will become a passionate prayer warrior. Are you ready to help me? Are you ready to do these wonderful things? I need to know that. It's really up to you. If you are ready, God is ready. If you are ready, God is ready. God can do nothing without you. You certainly can do nothing unless God is using you. So I cry out to you. I really do. For God to make Himself really known and really real, and to really work His beauty and His triumph in us so that we can be used of God. Well, it's at the end. Been a great broadcast. I'm preaching in the morning on My Will is Mine to Make It Thine. I hope you'll be here to help me. My will is mine to make it thine. The beautiful thing about me giving my will to God and how he then takes me and uses me and makes me count for his glory and his kingdom, it is really a beautiful thing. It really is a beautiful thing. I love you.
It was written for me.
Oh, it's victory.
It's a promise that I could be healed.
Listen, you can be healed, whatever you need.
From all my sins,
I love you.
And my
I love you. I love you. I love you.
In heartache and pain, it was signed and confirmed on a hill. So I rest my case at the cross. For now I have someone to champion my cause. I've been justified, satisfied. Oh, I have it all. So I rest my case at the cross. So I rest my case at the cross. For now I have someone to champion my cause. I've been justified.